Yeah, okay, we'll just start, I guess. So today we talked about the, like, you filter the results that you get from a table according to whatever criteria you want. So you don't get all the data, you just get some of the data, depending on what you need. We'll learn how to further process that data into, so you can get the actual, like, results that you need using functions. So SQL provides like a bunch of different functions. Sometimes they depend from like database system to database system, like exactly how you call them and what the syntax is. But most of them have this like around the same features that are available. So for example, to aggregate the data, there's always like functions like count and sum, average, min, max, give you some sort of, so like count gives you all the, like how many results, right? Sum sums up all the results, average, same, same. So some notes, value is a number for all these, and nulls are eliminated, except if you do that. And sum and average can only be used for numeric fields, because they're numeric operations. Min, max, and count, they can be used for other fields like strings, but then it's the standard comparison that is done. So for like, if you're using min and you're using it against strings, it'll check alphabetically, right? We'll talk about that later. So instead of, I'll do the same like I did yesterday. I think it works better than just going through the slide. It's kind of boring. So I'll jump into using the database and then just show you how all these functions work, which is kind of boring, but slightly less, I guess. Yeah, big enough, and then for SQL functions. So so if you want, for example, like how many employees there are, you can use count. And then you get 107. If you want to know how many employees there are, where in the department, where department ID equals like 50, then it will basically process the query as if count wasn't there, right? And then instead of returning all the results, it will just give you how many there are. 45. This returns everything. But if you're using count on a column and that column has nulls, it will filter all the null values. So if we're doing this, so employees, it was 107. If we do count and then we use manager ID, because not all employees have a manager ID, then we get 106, which except that one guy that doesn't have a manager because he's the boss. And if we want to know, yesterday we talked about this, the distinct keyword as well, right? So give me all the distinct manager IDs, so all the managers. But we can also do count on this, and then you get how many managers there are, which is 18. So it's the same as like programming. You can always like functions inside of functions and stuff like that. So the effect is always like it's computed from whatever is like the innermost function, and then the outermost applies to that value, right? And it keeps on going like that. And then we also have all these functions that apply to more to like numbers. So we can take salary and what's the last name? Yeah. So these are all the employees and their salaries. They're like all over the place. Some people don't get paid at all. Some people get paid a lot. If you want to know what the minimum is, it's 21. We can also just do like add the max next to it, comparison's sake. That's quite a big difference. That's why we need communism or socialism. No, like actually in Norway, it's like the difference isn't that big. If you compare it with like, US or Portugal, where I'm from, or stuff like that. Which in a way is also kind of sad, because like if you're like make a lot of, or get into a field where you can make a lot of money, it's like, oh fuck, I could have been better than, you know, that guy, but I'm not. But in a way, it's also kind of nice because you don't have that much crime or other stuff like that also because of that. So. And it's also kind of nice like not seeing all the problems associated with that type of society. So it's okay. So you can also get the average. You can also use standard deviation, I guess. I don't know how often you're going to do that. I used it, but it's here. If anyone remembers that. It's maybe, I actually don't know what geomatics is, but it's useful for you guys. Yeah, so this is for you. It's not for us programmers, because we don't know math, but yeah, for you that's useful. I guess there's a lot of are there any more like weird math functions built in? Numeric. Yeah, there's quite a bit actually. So you can do like a lot of math when you're selecting stuff like this. So you can multiply it by pi, and then you get something else. You can do the cosine of all of this, and then you get something else. And you can do the mod of it. Because this isn't the module operator. So mod is the remainder when you divide it by something, I guess. And then you get that. And there's like a bunch of other functions in this. Like you don't need to know all of them. You basically need to not know any of them almost. But some of them are actually like useful sometimes, but a lot of this stuff you do server side when you're processing the data that you get from database. Most times you don't actually do it in the query, but it is a possibility. But I'm not going to go through all these functions because that's boring, both for me and for you. There's also a bunch of different functions you can apply to strings. So let's see. What's a good example? I think there's a, is it like hire date? Yeah. So this is somewhat of, there's multiple functions that apply to it. So I think it's in the assignment. They ask you to do like this to like get the month thing. So that says the answer. So you can get like month of a date. You can do the same for day and for year. And then you just get it as, yeah. And you can also do, but sometimes when you're using this value in programming, so like if you're showing it in the front end or something, you want that value formatted, because you don't want to show just month one. It's usually like 01, so it can like line up with the rest of the other dates and stuff. So that's where all these functions come in for strings. So you can do like pad or left pad. The month. And then how many total characters do you want and what you want to pad it with. So if you have June, that gets padded. It has like a zero beforehand. If it's December, then it doesn't get padded because you've set like how many characters you want it to be. So I'll only pad it until the string is that size. You can also do other stuff like can concat the if you want the date to like show up in like a slightly different format, you can do this. So it's 619867. Yeah, if you want to like get your personal number from the database, you could do something like day of hire date, and then you need to so to get like the in the format or personal ID, it's day and then month, then year, right? And it has 4, 6, 8 characters. You need to pad or left pad both the day and and then this is how a date in SQL becomes your personal ID date. And then you have other stuff like other people that paid attention to JavaScript. So like length of a string, so the length of the person's last name. Like substrings and trimming and stuff like that. So all those functions are also available. So you can like see in the slides all this stuff. Realistically, like I've barely ever used any because I always do it in the server, but it's good to know they exist because sometimes like some weird requirement exists that you actually need to do it in the query. And then it's like good to know, like, oh yeah, like SQL, I know that it has all these features. I don't know how they work, but I'm gonna go and search for it and get it done. So yeah, that's it for those. You also have so like, where can we use job history? I think has, yeah. So some more functions for date or stuff like time diff or date diff. And date. Start date. So this will give you numbers, I guess, between them. Let me see. End date. Start date. Yeah, that seems about right. Yeah. So date diff gives you number of days between them. Time diff gives you I don't know what that is actually. Time diff. It turns the difference between time, date, time expressions. A timed value, another timed value. That doesn't really say anything when that's just two dates. Yeah, so don't use time diff if you don't have a time on the thing. What to take from this. And then there's also some hashing functions. So I don't know if you use like hashing functions, but you can do MD5 and then end date. That will give you a hash. Like this is useful, for example, for passwords. I don't know if you've done like any login systems and stuff. Yeah, but the way that passwords are usually stored in databases is they're stored in like a string like that is just kind of like looks random, right? Because when you're registering, type in your password, and then it gets processed, and then it turns into, which is basically like it goes through like some very weird complex function, and then something else comes out that is like basically impossible to reverse engineer what the initial password is. So you take the password, it gets all jumbled up together, and then you have like this indecipherable hash that no one can crack, so they can find your password. So if you ever, that means like if somebody to the database, like a hacker, and gains access to the database, they can't figure out what your password is, so they can't log in as you, even though like they have all the data, but they can't use it, right? That's the theory behind it, at least. So if you ever like go to a website and you're like, to recover password and they send you your password, that means they're not doing this, which means your like that system's very insecure. So if you've ever like gotten messages, or if you ever go to have I been owned? Yeah, so you can, this will check against every database leak that has ever happened, and it will check if your password was stored in plain text in any website. Which means if you use your like the same password for all the websites, and one of them is like super insecure, then the to clearly leak the password for all of your accounts. So if you, like, if hackers, like, get this list, they're going to be like, oh, okay, chill. I know an email, I know a password, I'm going to try it in a bunch of different things. So sometimes you, like, you might get hacked in your, you know, I don't know, like a very shitty website, but then they have your password for, like, your Netflix or your email or something else, right? So, yeah, that was a side thing. But this is what hashing is usually used in the database. Shouldn't, whenever you're storing users in the database, when you're, like, registering users, you usually have to use a function like this, like D5 or SHA-2 or something, to store the password hash. And by the way this works is you, the way the login works then is the hash is stored in the database, and then whenever you type to log, it is going to take your password, it's going to run the same algorithm, and if in the end the same hash, that means it's the same initial, like, string that you've inputted. So they compare it. So they never need to know what your password is, and if a company ever sends you your password, just delete your account and change all your passwords, because they know your password and they shouldn't. So yeah, have fun trying to figure out what of your passwords have been used. So that's what that is, and then you can cast stuff. So if you have what was it, start date, and then we can do cast. Start date as int. Would this work? I'll see. Might not be this exact syntax, but yeah, okay. So you have a like different data types, right? It can be numbers, it can be strings, it can be dates, it can be all this stuff. Sometimes some of these functions only work with a specific data type. So if you want pad, left pad, that's like a string function. So it should always be applied to strings. So you can cast whatever data type you have to something else. So then you can use that function. Sometimes this is done like implicitly, so the SQL is going to be like, oh, okay, calling this function, I'm going to like change it behind the scenes. You don't have to worry about it. Sometimes you have to do it explicitly, but you have the option to do it at least using the cast function. So yeah, that's it for this PowerPoint, I think. There's a lot of, like, if you go to the lecture slides afterwards, like, you have all the functions there. I'll also try to create, like, a cheat sheet with all the different stuff so you can, yeah, use it. I don't know exactly how the exam is going to be, but I don't really expect you to memorize, like, 100 different commands, because I don't know them, so it's kind of unfair to ask that of you. So, yeah. That's it for this, and then too early to take a break, so we'll just move along, or the next part heavy. Group by. Now we could take a break. In the meantime, you can, if you have any questions about like the assignment or anything else, you can do it right now. lost a few members, but I think it's everybody now here still. So, so this is a query to give you. Oh, typo. Salary. So this is a query to give you the average salary of all of the employees, the maximum, minimum, and the sum of the total of stuff. But that alone doesn't give you like so much information, right? If you can only do it for the whole table, it's kind of like, okay, sure. But, what if I need like more like detailed data? For example, like what if I need to know what department is taking like a shit ton of money from the company, and not really productive, right? So we can group these results on different fields, and that is a clause that comes after the where, where we can do group by, and let's say department ID. So get me all this, but group the results, or what these functions are returning by the department. So then you get, and it's also useful to add the department ID. So then we get a list of all the departments and the average salary and minimum and maximum and stuff for all of them. So then we can quickly see what departments are taking in a lot of money or take a lot of money to run and what departments don't, right? So we can use this type of filtering for a lot of different stuff. So for example, group it by the, now I need to write everything again. So select the average salary. Employees and group it by the job ID. We get the average salary for each of the jobs, so you can see which one gets paid the most. We can check the standard deviation for those salaries to see which of the positions the biggest difference in pay. So yeah, using the group by clause gives you kind of more control over what those grouping functions are doing instead of just using them for the whole table. So you can also group it by more than one column. So you can do like department ID and job ID. Then you get results of what are the same. So what the database basically does is it takes all of the rows in employees that have the same department ID and job ID, groups them together. So it becomes like some small groups of employees the same department ID and job ID, and then runs these grouping functions on all these rows, so you get the final result, right? So you can, let's do some, for example. Okay. So if you want to then filter these rows, the initial thought would be, okay, then I can use the where clause that we've been using. And do you like, okay, where the sum of salaries is over 8,000. But that's an error. Because when you have these grouping functions, you can't use where for those specific columns that you're grouping. So if you have a where, you can have a sum or an average or whatever afterwards. To do that, you move that down here after the group by, and you can say having. This is another keyword that basically does what the where does, but it's for these type of columns that call these grouping functions. So then that works. So again, if you want, like, I don't know what this would give, actually. This would give you the first result, I think. And then if we're doing where salary is over, like, 5,000. So that where clause works, because we're using it on like a just plain column, right? But if we're doing it with this, then it needs to be in the having clause down here. And then say if we want to, jobs with the average salary, and then recruitment. The in the group by, you can have more than the ones you're querying, right? Like whatever selecting is what you get in the end after you run the query. But these processing queries that you have in the middle, they can be whatever you want as long as it's in the data. They don't need to match whatever you're actually returning. Let's say if we want to get the average salary of each of the jobs and get them, we can also order them by their average salary. You also call the function down, and then you get all these ordered. You always use the function if you need to like do any operations that's related to that average or that sum or whatever. So yeah, I've skipped a bunch of stuff. It's not actually like, it's a lot of slides, but there's not that much information there. So what we can do is we'll try where you just put me on the spot and you say like something that you want the database to return, and then I have to like do the query in real time. So I see if I can actually like remember all this stuff. So just say like something. Or you can also, what's a way for you to participate without actually needing to say anything? Because I feel like it's a lot harder to be like, hey, and say something. Let me check. Because I can just like come here and just say like a bunch of different stuff. Like, oh, this is how you do this now. But if it doesn't actually tackle any of the questions that you have, it's not really like that useful. Let's see. We can. No, any stuff? Like you can ask questions like that mirror the assignment, for example, right? And I can just give you the way to solve assignment question. Like if you want to cheat, like that's the way. Or I can just like go over like all the. Okay, so between two dates, count how many employees are between those two dates. Okay, so it was the. So you take the employees, get their start. These haven't rolled in like 10 years, I guess. It would probably have been easier to like just clean it, but I already committed to turning it around. So I can't, or I shouldn't answer the question of the assignment directly, but I can like give you a similar thing. So if you phrase it in a way that's pertinent to this database, then I can do it. So please take the employee, right? And then what field? Something's wrong. Let me just restart this. Yeah, by the way, when's the deadline for to like finish the first assignment? Monday, okay. Yeah, so this is the optimal lecture for me to teach you how to do this stuff. What the fuck? Was because okay. So as employees and then hired it, I guess. You want to use that to like do your thingy? Hire date. Yeah. And then okay. Get the employees where the hire date is like one date or like 1 month. So, yeah, we can use January. Yeah, is that it? Or? Okay. And I need to count all this. Okay. So since you asked, you're gonna guide me through it. Yeah. Okay. So like I'll to like get to the solution instead of giving you the solution because I feel like that's it doesn't really tell you much. So like the way you started is first you select everything from the table, right? Have like a baseline of like, okay, here's all the employees. Then you can like see all the columns, you can see all the data, and then you can like go from there, right? So then is there any like restraint of first, I like to start with restricting where the rows are. So instead of getting all the data, I just get some of it. So in this case, it's the hire date, right? So we can start by just doing the hire date is to something. So 1987. Oh, six. 17. And then you're like, okay, chill. Like the where clauses works. So you need to restrict it on the month, right? And the way I've talked about earlier in this class, to get the month off of a date is to use the month function. You can do this. And then put a date in it, and it'll get you the month. So you can do so a way to visualize it is you get everything, then you do like month of hire date, and you see what you get when you do it. So you can see that you get all of the data for the row, plus you get the date, or you get the month of the hire date, which is sick. So now that you know the format of what that function returns, which is 6, then you can put it into the where clause. So take this month and put it here and check that it's 6. But in this case, it was January, so we'll use 1. And then we get all employees that have hire dates of are in January. And then from there, how do you count them? Come on, in. Okay. So then you use the count function. Seems straightforward after I say it. So you can just use count on everything. And then you get 14. So this is the process. Like after a while, it kind of becomes like second nature to just do everything in one go. Oh, I already know how to solve this. I'm just going to write the query and then it's done. But from the beginning, it's easier to like take it step by step, right? So it's like, okay, first select all everything from the and then kind of like restrict it until you get exactly what you need. Anything else? Anything that you're stuck on? Not sure. Like, I can find some more exercises to do. Take some from the slides or something. But if you want to, like, if you're unsure about some stuff in the assignment that you just want to get done, then this is the time to ask. Okay, no? So I guess everybody's passing assignment. Hope so, at least. It'd be kind of shitty for you to like already start failing in the first assignment. What would that say about me as a teacher as well? So yeah, let me see. There's some more practice exercises here. I'll take this. Put it here. That's kind of small. Ah, it's okay. Put this here. Yeah. So display the highest, lowest, sum, and average salary of all employees. I've already done that. I'm not doing that again. Query to display the number of people with the same job. The number of people with the same job. Okay, that's okay. So again, you start with just getting all the employees so you can like figure out what you're actually selecting from. Because like a lot of these exercises is just like text interpretation, right? Just trying to like figure out what the hell like the person that wrote the exercise like. And sometimes it's like super straightforward, but sometimes you have to like read the exercise a few times to get it. And that like kind of mirrors the real world too, because like clients don't know anything. They're just kind of like, oh, give me something that is kind of like this. And then you kind of like try to decipher like what the hell they're talking about. Like, what is all this data? Like, how am I going to model it? How am I going to put it in the database? So, yeah, like the interpretation is a part of it because I could, like if the exercise was super clear about what you needed to do, then that's basically almost just a query, right? So the whole challenge here is passing from plain text or from natural language into a SQL query. So yeah, we start with the employees, we get that, and then we need to figure out what corresponds to people having that same job, and that this job ID column. Employees. So what we can do is, instead of selecting everything, we can select just job. That will give us all of these, and then we can. Count the job IDs, but this will just give us one row, and it will give us all the IDs counted, which isn't that useful. So from here, then we can group them by the job ID. And yeah, that's it. So what this query is doing then is it takes all the employees, groups them by ID. So basically, like, if these are all the employees, then it's going to make like little boxes of like a constant, and then it's going to put that employee here. It's going to take manager and it's going to put that employee here. It's going to take clerk and put all those there. And then it's going to run the select against those. So it's going to take the job ID from each of the small groups you've just made. You have account and manager and all that stuff. And then it's going to take the count of all those that are going to that have been put in that small group. So you end up with one AC account and five clerks, and so that is that. Any questions? No. For each employee, display the job history. Group the different job positions that a employee had in a company. Use the job history table in the HR database. Okay. What then job history would you have? As the employee ID. Yeah. So selecting everything from the job history table. Is this all the data? That's but it's enough. Display the job history. Group different job positions from. So this is something that I haven't. Yeah. think I skipped this. So the group concat function can aggregate multiple rows of results into the same or one field. So I think this is what this exercise is wants. So we can take the employee ID, then we can take the group concat of job IDs, and then we can group these employees or these rows employee ID, and then we get each employee and the job history that they had. And then if we want to do any this thing, then before it used to be foreign key that related to the jobs table, but when you group concat, you end up with just a plain string. So like all those references are gone. But if you want to like do any operations with those strings, you have like all the string functions that you can use. You could and then comma with a space. So then they would be separated by spaces instead of commas. So that's like maybe the only this one use for string functions is when you have. Let me see. So I think that's pretty much it for this lecture. So I'm opening up the assignment to see if there's anything that's interesting there. Direct questions. Display names of all institutions audit. That seems easy enough. Which of the medical professionals joined their institution in the month of August of any year? You're still in the question two. Or did you finish the others? And you're still in question two, or did you finish the others?
No,
okay. Okay. Then it's okay. Okay. Yeah, some of them, like, error messages can be, like, quite cryptic. They don't really know what's going on. Yeah. So, yeah, first you go to whatever the error tells you to, and then you have to look in both directions to see what's wrong. But it's usually like not that far away from where the error is being thrown. Let's see, for the patients first admitted during the month of March, retrieve their names and which department they're admitted to, display the name, established date, having best care and department. Yeah. What their salary is. So the month function, like the exists like the year function, right? So the same thing that we've done for month, you can year. Provide the list of medical conditions for patients being checked. Yeah, so whenever you have duplicate entries, you have to use the distinct keyword, right? When they ask you for like no duplicates. So you want to select all the employees from the job history table, and then you can see that there's some like two that are 176 here. Then you always use this to get rid of them. So then you only have like the actual unique rows for that selection. Then display the names along with their joining dates in alphabetical sequence. So remember that you can always sort stuff. So order by. So you can order by date, and this will give you like chronological order. You can order by number field, like employee ID. This will order you by like numbers. And then if you're ordering by a string like job ID, that will do it alphabetically. And then remember that you have both ascending and descending order. So you can do S to get the ascending order, which in alphabetical order would be from A to Z. And you have this, which is the opposite. And then, yeah. So this Hammond seems pretty easy, so I'm guessing everybody's passing. Yeah, what's up? No, so I think that's a thing that or I don't know what the default is, it depends, but you can see online, oh yeah, now I have to do this whole. So I think by default, you said ascending? Yeah. I think by default it is ascending in most cases. I always like to specify it. If you're a developer and it's going to like, I should probably be looking at what I'm writing. If you're a developer and you're looking at a query, it's easier to see like the query, and then it's like explicitly there, like, okay, it's ascending or it's descending. And the developer, as you're typing a query, it takes like 4 characters, so it's better to just be explicit about it. Also because you need to think that you're going to be working with other developers if you're going to be like, you know, creating database queries and stuff like that. And some people like might not have the knowledge, and then if that's like fairly common to have like, you know, new hires coming in all the time, and if they don't know like what is the default order of results, then they're like, oh, wonder what is going on here. But if you're just explicit about it, then they're like, they go in and it's like, okay, yeah, it's ascending or it's descending. You don't need to think about it. So order by is used to sort in ascending or descending. Ascending order by default. Yeah. But yeah, that's my approach to almost everything, is just kind of like, it's better to be explicit about what you're doing as opposed to just like letting it be like inferred by whoever to read the code, just because it's like the default of the language. Because yeah, like these people might not know like what the defaults are, and then they're lost, right? And it's both with SQL and with like other programming languages. It kind of, especially when you're with a lot of other people, it removes like some confusion from stuff. At the like, you are like a little bit more verbose, and you have to type a few more characters. I think that's a good trade-off in the end. Yeah. Any other questions? Any other exercises of this I can solve for you? No? Have a nice weekend then.